Hi guys, thanks for tuning in to episode 51 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is Tuesday, March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And also happy birthday to Bookish Stitcher, whose birthday is today. So happy birthday, yay! My name is Summer. You can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, which is S-O-M-E-R-Y-A-R-N-S. And on Goodreads and on Pinterest, both of them as Summer Newland. I believe that's right. One of these days I'll actually look it up for Goodreads, but if you can't find me, just message me in Ravelry and I can add you. Today I have actually quite a bit to talk about. It is spring break here. I took the week off for vacation. I'll talk about all of my stuff at the end in case you're not interested, but that's why I'm getting to record in the middle of the week and no one's home, so I'm totally taking advantage of it. So I have one finished object to talk about, several works in progress, quite a bit of spinning, not really any enabling and acquisitions this week, and lots of in the kitchen, and then some what I've been up to at the end. So let's get started. Finished objects. Now, guys, this is a massive one. If you've been listening to me for any amount of time, you've heard this off and on for the entire time I've been podcasting. I started this project sometime in the summer of 2013, I guess. Yeah, 2013. This was supposed to be a birthday present for my son, and it did not pan out. Now he has it and he's happy. So what is this mysterious, long-lasting project, you ask? It was Rainbow Dash. And if you are not familiar, Rainbow Dash is one of the ponies in My Little Pony. And I started this for Eli for his birthday, like I mentioned, in 2013. His birthday is in July. And I saw it. I didn't have time, honestly, to finish it in time for his birthday that year. I don't remember exactly when I started it, but I knew that I probably wouldn't finish. I did not realize that I would still be working on it almost 2 years later. So let me tell you about this project. First of all, it is a substantial, it's a crochet project, and the pattern is by, let me check Ravelry real quick. I can't remember. I think it's Nerdy Girl Knits, but I may be getting that mixed up with something. It is. No, the Nerdy Knitter. I think Nerdy Girl Knits is someone on Ravelry. Or maybe that's another podcaster. I don't know. The Nerdy Knitter is the designer. And it is a paid pattern. And I'm going to be completely honest, and I'm not disparaging anybody, but I would not recommend the pattern. I had I won't say that I had problems because I'm an experienced crocheter and usually I could figure out what was missing. But there were parts of the pattern that they were confusing. There were steps that were left out. There was an entire section. So Rainbow Dash is a pony and she's got a couple of pairs of wings and this rainbow tail and a mane and bangs. All of this is important because if you crochet and you've ever done any type of toy knitting, you know that's a lot of parts. And some of them are joined together. So the wings, for example, there were five different crocheted portions, like if you were doing an arm, you know, that type of little tube. And then you have to join them together at one point. And anytime there were instructions for joining together, I felt the instructions were very vague. There were parts where for one portion, she would tell you to fasten it off. And then for the next portion that was clearly the same, she would just forget that step. Again, I'm experienced. I know that if I did it before, I'm going to do it again. But like I was saying, there was this one. There are two pairs of wings. And one is this open pair of wings, and then the other one, well, they're both open wings. But in the pattern, there is a part for closed wings. Nowhere in the pattern does it say that you have a choice to do either the open wings or the closed wings. And if you look at any of the project pictures, there are no closed wings on any of the project. So my assumption was that there was a choice, and I just chose not to do them. I have no idea if I missed something there. There were parts where it said, where if you look at pictures, the parts were clearly stuffed, but it didn't say to stuff them. And, I mean, that would seem obvious, but there were parts where you clearly didn't stuff them. So, I don't know. Rant over. There's a whole series of the My Little Pony patterns, and they're all really cute, and the finished project was adorable, and my son loves it, and I got more likes on that on Instagram maybe than any other thing I've ever posted, but I did not enjoy the pattern at all, and I did not enjoy the knitting. Now, the other thing, not a rant, but the instructions for where to place the different parts wasn't clear. In some patterns that I've done, it's extremely clear down to the, you know, you're going to want to attach this at this portion of the, you know, on this round. So count your rounds, and this is where you'll position this. Nothing like that. You just kind of had to go by pictures. And then the pictures didn't always show what you needed to show. So, crocheter beware. If you feel like you can figure it out, and I did at one point have a question and emailed the designer, and I got a pretty quick response, if I remember correctly. It's been a long time. So, I mean, she was willing to help, but it was in desperate need of an editor, I guess is what I was saying. So that is my finished object. I'm very glad to be done with it. It did turn out awesome. Works in progress. Let me back up. Sorry for the rant there. You can tell it really bothered me. So, what have I been working on? I have down here that I worked on Cerise from Curls by Hunter Hammerson. I assume that I did maybe a little bit on it this past week, but I didn't work on it very much. I'm using Dream and Color Starry in the Purple Rain color for that. And it's a fun knit. I'm enjoying it. Like I said, I haven't worked on it very much. I'm still continuing with the sock yarn blanket, which is, I'm using the version by Shelley Kang. And I figured out recently when I laid it out that I probably will not, well, no. The only way that I could finish this blanket before Laura actually graduates or leaves for college would be to do 2 squares a day, and that's not going to happen. So I'm going to quit stressing about it. I'm going to continue to do 1 a day, and this will be a Christmas present. I would say birthday, because I could probably finish it by her birthday, but I'm not shipping this thing in the mail. Too much time in it, too many factors, you know, too many possibilities for it getting lost. So I will work on it stress-free, and it will be a Christmas present. And that way she can hand carry it back with her to North Carolina. I have also worked on the Newton shawl. This is a paid pattern by Very Busy Monkey that was graciously gifted to me by Yew Creek Cottage for my birthday back in February. And I am working on this in Dream and Color Everlasting. Last episode I said Cascade Everlasting. I was completely wrong. I am using Dream and Color Everlasting in the henna colorway. And if you follow other podcasts or are you familiar with this yarn, then you may know that they have changed this yarn. This is the original version of this yarn. I got it a couple of years ago from a destash from a friend of mine. And right now, it's not very exciting. It's just garter stitch and, you know, I'm plugging along, but it is really pretty. I love the color. It's kind of a brick color, and it's going to be really pretty when it's done. I'm still working on the Basha hat, which is a paid pattern by Hannah. Oh gosh, I still have no idea how to say this. Masajevska, probably, something along that line. And I'm using Malabrigo worsted in Applewood, which is a really pretty variegated brown. And this, I'm probably pretty close to being done with this. I measured it and I was about 6.5 inches, I think, on, what night was that? Saturday night. And I haven't worked on it since then. I'm not 100% sure how tall to make it. I'm making the small, which is, it's only for a 19 inch head, but based on the number of stitches cast on, it seemed right. Now that said, I'm not sure if I should go ahead and work it as tall as I would for the medium, which is for a 22 inch circumference. So I'm kind of playing that by ear. If I'm only going to make it as high as the small calls for, then I'm almost done and just need to go to the crown. I'm really enjoying that pattern as well. Although I'm using Knit Picks, I think I'm just using 16 inch Knit Picks, and they are actually really, they are so sharp. I haven't knit with these in a while, and they're really kind of poking at my thumbs. When I finished Rainbow Dash, I let myself cast on another project. I actually let myself cast, oh, no. When I finished that, I moved to another work in progress that's been languishing for a while. So I picked up my Trillion. And I knit on that for a bit last night. This project does not seem to grow. Actually, the thing is, it looks like it's growing, but every time I measure the ball of yarn, I'm like, oh, I've got to be getting close. No, I'm not getting close. This is one of those patterns where you work till you've got a certain amount of the ball left, in this case, 7%. And I was thinking I needed to maybe start watching that. I started with 100 and I think it's 115 grams. And this is in Sweet Georgia Tough Love Sock in the Autumn Flame colorway. And I believe it was 115 grams was the starting weight. And I'm only down to 60. The 7% mark is 8 grams. This project is going to take forever. But I think actually I'm going to take this one to work. When I go back next week, and this will be my work knitting for a while, I've been working on the Baja hat at work, and I am almost done with that, so I won't have that to take to work with me next week. So this will go with me, and with dedicated knitting time, hopefully it will be done soon. So I did mention that I let myself cast on a new project. So, I cast on the Susan B. Anderson's Yowza What a Skein, and I'm doing version 3, which has the ribbed border. And I'm just barely into this. I cast this on yesterday, and I've worked on it probably a total of 30 minutes, maybe. But it's going to be a nice mindless knit, and I'll probably end up taking this one to work too at some point. And then the other thing that I'm working on, yeah, that's a lot of works in progress this week, right? That's what happens when you're on vacation. I started a crocheted cowl using all of the yarn I spun from fiber in the fat fiber box that I got back in, I think it was October. And I started this pattern, I don't even remember what the pattern was. It was a free pattern. And it was supposed to be for a Mobius cowl. And I started it, and it seemed to be going okay. And then I got to one part, and suddenly it's not a Mobius. I have this weird part where it's kind of crossed over each other, and then now I'm just working in the round. I don't know what happened. I'm not going to rip it out. I'll just wear that in the, you know, behind me. To tell you the truth, I'm not sure how much I'll actually wear this cowl anyway. I don't know how big it's going to be. It may just sit somewhere as a sampler of these yarns worked up. I'm just doing basically, I'm somewhere around 90 crochet stitches, doing double crochet around using a G hook. And it's actually going to look pretty cool, I think. Sorry, my nose is really itchy. So those are all of my works in progress. It's a lot, and to tell you the truth, I want to work on more. It's kind of crazy. I'm here, right now I'm here by myself, and even when Eli's here, it's quiet. He's back in his room doing whatever he does. And so I feel like I've got the house to myself. I actually do have the house to myself for a bit, but I'll get to that in a few minutes. Spinning. I've also done quite a bit of spinning. I haven't done much on the spindle, but I did pick up, I decided I wanted to start something the other day, and my mom gave me a bat that she made, I think, in the tasting room at SSK last summer, and I decided that that would be a nice project for my spindle. The bat's about an ounce, which is actually a little bigger than I thought it was. But I started that, and that's spinning up really cool. I spent maybe about 15 minutes on it the other night. So that's the only spindle spinning I've been doing. But I have been doing quite a bit on my ladybug. I finished the Mountain Colors Blue Face Luster top that I had started last week, and this is in the lilac colorway, and it is so pretty. I finished that up, and then it was all I could do to not ply it immediately, and I knew that I needed to let it sit, and I didn't let it sit for as long as I should have, I'm sure, but it was supposed to rain. It never actually did. I know it's supposed to rain tomorrow, but I wanted to make sure that I got it plied up and could let it dry before the rain started. So I went ahead and did that yesterday morning, and I didn't get as much as I had hoped. It felt like it was spinning a lot thinner, and I ended up with about 82 yards of a heavy worsted or a light bulky, depending on where you measure. It is the most consistent spinning I've done, and it is pretty well balanced. There's just a few spots that are overspun, but for the most part, this turned out really, really well. I'm really pleased with it. The colors are great. They are like kind of a dusty purple and dusty blue, a little bit of maybe kind of periwinkle with just a little bit of green every once in a while. It's so pretty. It reminds me of the mountains. And let's see, what else did I do? I did a little bit of merino that I bought at Smoky Mountain Spinnery in Gatlinburg, Tennessee last summer. I'm not sure how much I'm going to like this. It is a really pretty color, but it is super slippery. I've spun merino before, but this, for some reason, was giving me a little bit of trouble. It kept breaking. So I decided that it wasn't really giving me a lot of pleasure. Maybe I needed a little more experience before I spun that. So I put that back and remembered that I wanted to finish up the Brazen Stitchery Poleworth in Rainbow Connection that I had started on my spindle a while back. And it was really giving me a hard time on the spindle. It's going on a year and a half now, and it was just a little bit felted, and it just was not a pleasure to spin anymore on my spindle. So I decided I was going to spend the rest of it on my wheel, and I started that either last night or this morning. I can't remember, but best decision I've made so far as spinning goes. I think the best decision was probably spinning up the rest of that the Christmas bat I did a while back, because I wasn't enjoying that either. But this, it's spinning like a dream when I'm doing it on my wheel. It's spinning very thin, very consistent. What I had done with this fiber is, I'm a newbie. I was going to fractal spin. I believe this is what I did. So I divided the braid in half when I first started spinning. I divided the braid in half, and then I divided one half of it into four smaller sections. So I've been working on the one half that wasn't divided, and I finished that up today, and I probably had maybe a quarter of the braid left to go last night, and it spun up in no time. And then I'm going to start working on the smaller pieces probably today, because why not? I am not 100% sure what to do at this point, because right now I've got some singles that are on a toilet paper tube that I had done on my spindle. A little bit on the spindle before I decided to move to the wheel, and the stuff that's on my wheel. So what I think I'm going to do is go ahead and ply what is on the wheel with, you know, the little bit of, I'm looking out my window, I'm sorry, and there's a bird out there, and I think it might be a robin. I haven't seen a robin in a long time. Anyway, sorry. I think I'm going to spin what's on the wheel with what was on, with what's on the toilet paper tube right now. I don't have as much, I think I have way more on the toilet paper tube than I do on the wheel. So what I think I'm going to do is just go ahead and spin as much as I can, and then have that little skein, and then ply the rest of what's on the spindle with what is on the toilet paper tube. I don't know how much I'll have left over, but go ahead and do that. No, that isn't what I was going to do at all. That's what I had thought I was going to do. That is not what I'm going to do. What I am going to do is let the single sit that I spun today work on the smaller portions. When I'm done with that, then I'm going to ply those with everything that I said before. I'm sure you have completely lost me now, but I know what I'm doing. I think that what I will end up with is basically a fractal spun. It will just be in smaller portions because I don't have the whole I don't have the first half all on one bobbin, but I am going to spin all of these other portions onto one bobbin. I don't know if that makes sense. Anyway, that's my plan. I am so loving spinning right now. I just really, really love it. And I'm getting so much better. It's so much fun. I just love it so much. So those are all of my works in progress. That's all of the crafting that I have done. It's a lot. I've really done a lot. I'm in a good place with crafting right now. Enabling and acquisitions. I have made a few purchases, but I haven't received them yet. So I will talk about those next week when hopefully I will have received everything. So let's move on to In the Kitchen. Again, I have a lot to talk about here. It's been a busy week. It doesn't feel like it's been a busy week. It's been very pleasurable. And I was wrong. That's not a robin out there. So the first thing, I'm going to do a brief mention. We had a girls' night on Saturday night, which happened to be pie day. So I made a couple of pies. The first one is called the Atlantic Beach Pie. And this is, I found this on Pinterest, but it's from an NPR article from, I have no idea when it's from. Just a second. I have it still open. This is from April of 2013. And it was, it's a special series, Found Recipes. They found this recipe, I don't know where, I assume this is where they found it, from the book, The Mom 100 Cookbook. 100 recipes every mom needs in her back pocket. And the recipe came from a restaurant in Chapel Hill, North Carolina called Crook's Corner. And the author of the book said it was the best pie she'd ever had. And I won't say it's the best pie I'd ever had, but it was pretty darn good. So this was, okay, so Found Recipes was part of all Things Considered series. So this pie could not have been easier. And it was very unique. So it's a lemon pie, but instead of like a graham cracker crust or just a traditional pie crust, you use saltine crackers. I was a little skeptical at first. I wasn't sure how it was going to turn out. But here's what you do. You take 1.5 sleeves of saltines and crush them. You don't want them too fine. I did them in the food processor, and there were still some fairly big chunks, but it's some finer chunks too. You take that and you mix in 3 tablespoons of sugar and 1/3 to 1/2 cup of softened butter. And I went ahead and did a whole 1/2 cup because you basically want it to hold together like a dough would. And even with 1/2 cup, it didn't hold together that well. It was really, really crumbly. But you knead that together to make a dough, and you press it into a pie plate. It said an 8-inch pie plate. I don't know that I've ever seen an 8-inch pie plate, so I used a 9-inch pie plate. You press that in, and then you bake it. Actually, you refrigerate it for a few minutes, and then you bake it until it's a little brown. And then you add the filling, and the filling is so easy. I got it open. 1/2 cup of lemon juice or lime juice or both. You could use whatever you have. 4 egg yolks and a can of sweetened condensed milk. Blend that together very well. You want it completely blended together. Pour it into the pie crust and bake it for about, 16 minutes until the filling has set. And then you refrigerate it. You want it to be really cold. You know, the recipe says that it won't cut. It has to be completely cold in order to slice it. And I had several hours, so it was in the refrigerator for probably about 4 hours before we sliced it. And this was so good. The crust reminded me of just kind of a cookie crust. It didn't taste like saltines at all. There was a little bit of saltiness to it, of course, because you're using saltines. But it balanced out really well with the sugar and the butter, and this was a really, really good pie. I can highly recommend this pie. The other pie I made was a chocolate cream pie, and unfortunately I would not consider this one as much of a success. This is just a traditional cream pie, kind of like with like a pudding type filling. And I felt like it was pretty runny. It was a little puddingy, but it was very thin, and I didn't think it was sweet enough. The chocolate was overwhelming, and I didn't like it at all. So actually, I ended up tossing it at the end of the night because I knew that I wasn't going to eat it. Eli doesn't like chocolate pie, and no one else wanted to take any home. So that one was not a success. That pie was, I've also found that on Pinterest, but it was from the blog Lauren's Latest. Or it was from Lauren of Lauren's Latest blog. I think it was in an ebook that she had. I don't think it's a problem with the recipe. I think it was me. I did not do it justice. I would definitely add more sugar to that one. I think it might have been a little better. And maybe it got a little hectic when I was making it right at the point where it started to thicken. So yeah, I suspect it was some user error in there. But that's not my favorite kind of chocolate pie anyway. I much prefer a fudgy chocolate pie. So I think I've learned my lesson on that. I think I will steer clear of those in the future. What else? Let's see. Another thing I made for our girls' night was a white bean and artichoke dip. And I wasn't going to mention this because it really wasn't much of a success Saturday night. But it seemed better the next day. So this is again a really easy recipe. It was garlic and a couple of cans of cannellini beans or white beans, whatever kind of white beans you have, and a can of artichoke hearts and some lemon juice. And you just blend it all together until it's smooth. It looks a lot like hummus when you're done. The overwhelming consensus Saturday night was that it was too beany. And I agree, it was really beany. But you really couldn't taste the artichoke that much. the next day, I think maybe after having sat and letting the flavors mingle, it was definitely better. Oh yeah, there were, I forgot. There are also crushed red pepper flakes in there. Eli really liked it the next day. He had some of it, and I tried it, and actually, I liked it a lot better the second day. At the time, on Saturday night when we were talking about it, I didn't consider it a Pinterest fail, but kind of a Pinterest meh. It wasn't great. Now I think I would make it again, but let it sit overnight before serving it. Another thing that I might try with this recipe would be to maybe reverse the bean to artichoke ratio. I don't know how this would turn out at all, but maybe if it had more artichoke than bean, it might be better. It would be worth trying for sure. So all in all, not a bad recipe. I think I would make it again with some, you know, either with some modifications or letting it sit for a while. A couple more things. I made this last night, but Eli and I were talking the other day and kind of came up with this idea. He really likes Cheez-Its, the little snack crackers. And I don't know what made me think about it, but I asked him what he thought, or, you know, I wondered what it would be like to use Cheez-It crumbs as a coating for chicken instead of cracker crumbs or bread crumbs. And he thought it was worth a try. And we were trying to come up with some dinner ideas for this week, and I mentioned that I was going to bake some chicken, and he asked what kind, and I told him, you know, I was going to just do breadcrumbs or something. He said, what about the Cheez-Its? So we decided to give it a try. I used a recipe that I've used before from Pinterest that's called, I think it's called Famous Butter Chicken, and that is super simple. You just take, in this recipe, you take, I think it's Ritz crackers, or saltines, or, you know, some other type of crackers, and you dip the chicken in eggs. You beat a couple of eggs, dip the chicken in that, and then coat it with the cracker crumbs. Put it in a dish and put half a cup of butter all around the chicken. So what I did was cut it into pieces and put pieces all around it, and then put a little bit on top of the chicken as well. I know that's a lot of butter, but really you're not really eating all of that butter. A lot of it, you know, you're cooking the chicken in it, but you're not actually consuming a lot of it. This turned out really, really good. So instead of the cracker crumbs, I used Cheez-It crumbs, and again, I used the food processor, crushed them up, and I'd say I probably used about a cup and a half of cracker crumbs for this, and I used 3 chicken breasts and stuck it in the oven for about 40 minutes, and it turned out so good. It was really good. There's another recipe I've made before that I may have talked about. It's another Pinterest recipe where you roll the chicken in shredded cheddar cheese, and then in cracker crumbs. I don't remember exactly how the order. And this tasted a lot like that, except you don't have this step of actually rolling it in the cheese. So it's got to be a little healthier too. Not that it's super healthy, but it's, you know, you don't have the melted cheese added in. So that was a really, really good recipe. And we had that with bacon-wrapped green beans, which is another one of Eli's favorites. So that was a very successful meal. I really, really really liked that. And then today I had something. This is such a comfort food for me. My mom made this for me the first time, I believe, when I was probably a freshman in high school and we had moved to Austin. And I don't know where she learned about this. I think maybe she had had it in San Antonio and then recreated it at home. And it's called queso flameado, which in Spanish means flaming cheese. This doesn't actually, my version doesn't actually set it on fire, although I have been in restaurants where they have flamed it before. And all it is melted Monterey Jack and crumbled and browned chorizo, which is a Mexican sausage. And it's so bad for you. It really is so bad for you, but it is so good. So there's a couple of ways you can eat this. Some people will eat it as a dip. So you melt the cheese and put the, and mix in the chorizo. Or what I do is take a really good tortilla, heat it up, and then put the cheese and the meat inside and eat it that way. And oh my gosh, it is so, so good. So I don't have it very often because it is really bad for you. I will be completely honest. I tend to not have it when my husband is around because he reminds me of how bad it is. He is on vacation this week, or he is in North Carolina. So I took advantage of him not being in here, being here, and bought myself some chorizo and made that. I'll probably use more of it. Maybe scramble some eggs with it. Maybe make an omelet. I don't know. It's yummy. That's really, I mean, it's such a comfort food. I used to have it all the time when I was in high school. And then when I moved to Mississippi for college, I would bring back chorizo with me so I could make it when I was away at school. It is stinky. My house smells like chorizo now, but it's such a good food. Yum. So what I'm reading, I finished Charmed Life by Diana Wynne Jones, which is part one of the Crestomancy Chronicles. I talked about that last week. It is a children's book. I would say middle readers. It's not a super young book. And it is a fantasy book. And it's all about magic and witches, and it was a really delightful read. I really enjoyed that. The book I have has both the first and the second volume in it. I'll read the second one at some point, but I really, really enjoyed that. If you like magical books, this one I would recommend. And then I am currently reading Sharp Teeth by Toby Barlow, and this is about werewolves. This one came out several years ago. I think I heard about it. I think it came out in 2008. And I think I heard about it from Nancy Pearl, who is a Reader's Advisory Librarian Extraordinaire from Seattle. She's written the books. If you've seen the books, Booklust, I believe, is what they're called. There's a couple of different volumes of that that are just book recommendations. And I used to listen to her on, I think she had a podcast, or maybe she still does, or maybe it was an NPR podcast. I don't remember. But I heard about it. I thought it was something my husband would really like, so I bought it for him for Christmas or his birthday that year. And I have been meaning to read it. And I started that sometime last week. I think I started it on Friday. And I wasn't sure at first. It's written in verse, so it's a little different. But it's really good. I've read a lot of it over the weekend and the past couple of days, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm about two-thirds of the way done with that. There are some parts of it which are pretty graphic. It's a little violent, but not, at least so far, not terribly. It's not gruesome. It doesn't really go into, you know, great details. There are some parts that kind of make you cringe a little bit, but it's really good. It's a really good book. I can highly recommend that one as well. So, I'm going to talk about what I've been up to. This probably won't take very long, but if you are not interested, then I will talk to you the next time I podcast, which will hopefully be probably in about a week, maybe a week and a half. I may end up actually, it depends on how much I get done the rest of this week. I may end up podcasting again on Sunday, so it may be close together. Like I said, it depends. So, as I mentioned at the beginning, it is spring break. I took the week off and am enjoying some quiet time at home. Jimmy and Laura left on Saturday to go to North Carolina. She had an admitted student day at Appalachian State in North Carolina, and that was yesterday. And Eli and I stayed here, and it's been a really nice week so far, or a nice half a week. On Saturday, I mentioned I had some friends over for a girls' night / crafts night, and that was a lot of fun. We just hung out and chatted and knit and ate a little bit. We had food, but none of us really ate all that much, it doesn't seem like. And Eli had his girlfriend over while we were here, and they watched movies in another room, and we crafted in another room, and it was just a very pleasant evening. I had a really good time. And we need to do that again more often. So, let's see. The rest of the weekend, yesterday I was going to do some stuff, and I had really, wait, no, what's today? Gosh, I'm behind. Today's Tuesday. Let's see. Sunday. I don't remember what I did Sunday. let's see. I know that I cleaned a lot on Saturday. Got it. Okay. I cleaned a lot on Saturday, and Sunday I was really tired. I had been up late. I had done a lot of work around the house on Saturday, so I had planned to do some dyeing because it was going to be a really pretty day, and I decided at the last minute, not the last minute, but I decided that I just didn't want to do that. I wasn't feeling it. I was tired. I just kind of wanted to veg. Oh yeah, that's what I did. So I sat and that's when I worked on Rainbow Dash. I decided my goal for the day was to finish Rainbow Dash, and I did it. So I worked on that most of the day. Then yesterday, Eli had a dentist appointment in the middle of the day, but on Sunday, a friend of mine from high school had messaged me on Facebook and said she was thinking about coming to Houston. And was I going to be around, and she'd like to stop by and say hello. So it actually turned out that she and her husband and one of her sons stopped by early afternoon before the dentist appointment, hung out for 30, 45 minutes, and we got to visit. That was really fun. I haven't seen her in several years. And then, of course, Eli had his dentist appointment. We went to the grocery store, came back, and then didn't do much of anything the rest of the night. I think I might have had some plans. I don't remember. But I was good. I had been really, one of my goals this week is to not sit on my butt the whole week, because it's really easy to do when you're home by yourself, to psych yourself out of exercising. And I haven't been exercising strenuously, but Jimmy and I have been trying really hard to get in at least a walk every day. And last week the weather, was kind of crummy, so we didn't get it in every week, but I determined that even though he's not here, I was going to do it. So Eli and I went for a walk Sunday night, and then last night I decided to take the dog for a walk to get in my last, get in some more steps. My goal wasn't necessarily to get my goal steps in, which is 8,000, because I wasn't at work. I wasn't walking around as much, but if I could at least get out and move, that would be good. So I took Pearl for a walk by myself, and I'm trying to increase this, but last night it was already getting dark and I kind of just wanted to do a little bit. So I did the long block around our neighborhood, part of our neighborhood, there's a long block I can make that goes from the middle of my block. Basically, it's as far down the street as I can go and make a block. I don't even know what I'm saying. Basically, I have a route that is a square that I can walk that's almost exactly a mile. And so that's what I decided to do. And I was almost home. I was probably 3 or 4 houses from my house, and I don't know what I did. I must have just caught my toe on the sidewalk, and next thing I knew, I was flying through the air and landed just flat on the sidewalk. I mean, I'm lucky I didn't land on my face, quite literally. It's really amazing how your body, how you protect yourself, because, I'm holding the dog. I've got the leash in one hand, and I let go of the leash, landed, and caught myself on my hands and my knees. But I mean, I caught myself on my hands and my knees, but I was flat on the ground. I mean, complete and utter wipeout. And I lay there for a minute, kind of, you know, taking inventory. Am I okay? And, you know, my knees hurt and my hands hurt, but, you know, I could, you know, I didn't feel like anything was broken. Nothing had snapped. You know, I was fine. Luckily, there was no one out to have seen me embarrass myself like that. And the dog was very concerned and came up. You know, I sat up and she came over and licked my face a little bit. And then, you know, I managed to get up and hobble the few houses home and come in and clean myself up. And I hurt. It hurt really bad. I iced my knee for the rest of the night. And except for the few minutes when, after Eli was washing dishes and broke a glass. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to trust my 16-year-old son to completely clean up a mess of a glass, you know, that's shattered on the ground. I figured I needed to do that myself. So I got up and swept it and mopped it, and I was able to do it with, you know, I was kind of muttering the whole time, but I was fine. And I woke up this morning and, you know, I'm sore and, you know, just, I'm bruised, but I can walk. I'll probably actually take the dog for a walk again tonight. And, yeah. So that was the end of my night last night. It wasn't great. And then, so Eli's been hanging out with his girlfriend a lot. This is his first girlfriend and they're really cute. He is, in Galveston right now. His girlfriend is living with her grandparents at the moment, and the grandmother wanted to take them to Galveston. So they did that today. So I dropped him off this morning. And when I was there, his girlfriend's mom was on the phone with her mom and said that she wanted to take them to San Antonio sometime this week. So, they're going to do an overnight trip, which, okay. So she wants to take them to Six Flags and to the Riverwalk, and that is fine with me. So all of a sudden I have all of today by myself. Eli probably won't be back until early evening today. And then either tomorrow or Thursday, they're going to go to the Riverwalk, which means depending on if they go tomorrow or Thursday, if they go tomorrow, that's two full days that I have by myself. Or if they go Thursday, I'll have Thursday because Jimmy and Laura get back Thursday and then Friday with them. But either way, I have found myself with all of this free time and I just don't know what to do with it. And, you know, I'm totally milking the fact that I hurt my knee last night because, you know, I can't be too active. I get to, you know, I just need to sit and relax and heal, right? So I do have some plans. I really had intended to work on my room. It needs some cleaning. I needed to clean out a closet, but actually I really do. I mean, the closet will require a lot of bending and stooping and all of that stuff. And I might be able to do that in a couple of days, but that's not going to happen today. I'm really sore. We were going to paint Eli's room this week, but I think that plan is now out of the question because, you know, the only day we could possibly, I mean, if he doesn't go to San Antonio until Thursday, then maybe we could do it tomorrow. But it's supposed to rain, and I'd really rather not do it on a day when it's really wet outside because it's going to take forever for the paint to dry. So that's probably not going to end up getting done this week. Let's see. What else? What else do I have planned? I still have a couple other baking ideas. I have been planning to make brownies for a couple of days. I probably will go ahead and do those. I was going to make cheese straws for Eli because that's his favorite. And I haven't made them in a long time. We usually do them around the holidays and he asks for them. And I want to think the past couple of years, I just haven't made them. But I bought the stuff to make them, but then now he's leaving. So I don't know if I'll make those or not. I have more spinning that I want to do. I have all of these things that I want to do. I don't really need to sort my stash, but, you know, it would be nice to photograph some of it. Or I could go through some of the pictures that I want to go through. I mean, I have all of these pictures from when the kids were little that I really would love to sort. And I just, all of these things, you know, all of the possibilities. And I can't make up my mind, so I end up just sitting. Ugh. Anyway, so that is what's up in my neck of the woods. I possibly, depending on how much knitting and spinning, you know, whatever, how much I have to talk about by the end of the week, I may record again at the end of the weekend. Otherwise, I'll probably will wait. I think now that I have gotten over that hump of recording with the family in the house, that from now on, I'm probably going to go ahead and make that a weekend thing. So if I don't get it done, if I don't record this weekend, then I'll probably record the next weekend. Until then, I hope you all have a wonderful week. I hope you're all wearing green and nobody has gotten pinched, and that you are having wonderful spring weather, and that those of you who are in parts of the country that have been very cold, I hope y'all are starting to thaw out. I will talk to y'all soon, everyone. Bye.